It might seem random, but it's much deeper than that. Welcome to Jewish Meditation with Rabbi G, making every day count. So this week, we have the Festival of Purim. This coming Thursday night and Friday, Thursday night, 13th of March, Friday, 14th of March. Purim is a happy day. It's the happiest day in the Jewish calendar. It's a powerful day. It's a deep day. We connect to Purim through the various mitzvot, the various things that we do. We send people gifts of food. We send gifts for the needy. We have a festive meal. We hear the Megillah. What is the depth of Purim? So let's examine the name of Purim. Why is Purim called Purim? So in the story of Purim, Haman, the villain of the story, draws lots, a lottery. He draws lots to decide which day would be the day that he can annihilate the Jewish nation. And that's the basis of the story of the Purim. He comes out with the 13th of Adar. He did this months before. The decree comes out that on that day is the day that they could take up arms and kill Jews. In the meantime, the Jews reconnect with God. The decree is sort of not rescinded, but reversed. And Ahasuerus, the king, allows the Jews to make another decree that they could take up arms and fight back if they be attacked. And when the 13th of Adar came, there was a war. They won the war decisively. And then the next day they rested and they celebrated. That's the 14th of Adar, which is in fact the day of Purim. The word Purim actually means lottery, goral in Hebrew, to draw lots. That's a Persian word. So very interestingly, we call the festival for the name of lottery, which is very strange because normally when we name a festival by a name, it's normally the name that represents the miracle, the salvation, the blessing. Pesach is called Pesach because God jumped over the Jewish houses and didn't kill them in the plague of the firstborn. Hanukkah is called Hanukkah because Hanu, they rested. They won the war and they rested. Purim is called lottery because that was the lottery that Haman drew, actually. Why would we call the festival by that name? But the theme of Purim is when things seem one way, but they're actually really a different way. They're much deeper. What is a lottery? What does it mean to draw lots? So there are two ways we could do things. We could draw lots. We could do something rationally. We can decide on a course of action. We can pick a day because it makes sense, because there's a reason behind it. We can choose to do something because there's depth, there's an explanation, there's something we understand, it talks to us, it resonates, whatever the case is. And then we could do something just randomly. A lottery on the surface seems just a random thing. There's two things, kind of equal, random. Let's choose this day. Let's choose that day. Let's choose this thing. Let's choose that thing. But Kabbalistically, we understand that when things seem equal and the choice appears random, the lottery can actually represent something much deeper. It can represent not randomness, but something that is supra-rational, meaning it's chosen not because it makes sense, but because it's intrinsically deep. It's unconditionally deep. Haman drew lots because Kabbalah teaches us that Haman wanted to destroy the Jewish nation because he felt they had lost their connection. He felt he could do this because they had lost their connection with God. They were divided. They were not united. They were not particularly holy. They were not particularly connected. And he believed they were vulnerable. And they were vulnerable to a point where they became like something random, meaning they just happen to exist. They cannot exist. They could exist. So therefore, if he chooses to kill them, they can be annihilated. What actually happened at the Purim story? What actually happened was that the Jews reconnected. And they reveal something very deep in the darkness of the story, in the concealment of God in the Purim story. They discovered that there's some deeper, intrinsic, supra-rational connection, unconditional love, unbreakable bond that exists between them and God, which can never be broken. It took the darkness, it took the apparent randomness to actually go deep and say, hold on a second, it's not random. Yes, their connection with God right now is not very rational. It actually doesn't make that much sense because they're not behaving. But there's something deeper than rational. There's something unbreakable. There's something unconditional about the connection between the Jew and God. And that's what Purim is. Purim is called Purim because it's actually a deep lottery. Haman thought that the Jews were subject now to randomness because their rational and sensible connection with God no longer existed. But actually, his downfall was exactly that, that we got to reveal within that randomness, actually it's not random at all, that the Jewish connection between God is so deep that even when it doesn't make sense, it's just there. It's intrinsic. It's unbreakable. It cannot be dismantled. You just need to reveal it. And that's the power of Purim. And that's why we call Purim by that name, because it was specifically the scenario of randomness that actually gave way to reveal that, yes, it's not sensible, but it's actually very deep. It's intrinsic and unconditional and unbreakable. And that's also one of the reasons that we dress up on Purim, because when we dress up, what does dressing up mean? Dressing up means that something or someone looks one way, but actually they're something very different. You just need to dig deep and reveal their real truth, which is the pure soul that they possess. So that is the power of Purim, and that's the greatness of Purim. Purim is not a holy day in the sense where, like, it's a chag or a festival. It's a regular day, seemingly, but actually it's a very deep day. It's a day that tells us that no matter how mundane it is, and it's just a regular day, we don't fast, we don't pray specifically anymore, we just eat, we festive, we celebrate. But it's in that very physical, material setting, which seems like it's just very mundane, that's where we really reveal the true connection that we have between us and Hashem, between us and God. So let's just reflect on that for a little bit. I want you just to just relax, find a comfortable position, focus, concentrate, become aware, and to turn your attention to your breathing. Breathing in and out. Your mind wanders, just gently bring it back, breathing in and out. Perhaps feel it even deeper, breathe in deeply, feel your lungs filling with air, and feel the sensation of exhaling slowly. Breathe in, 2, 3, 4, breathe out. Breathe in deeply, hold, 2, 3, 4, and slowly breathe out. Feel your breath, feel the depth of your breath. In, out. As we breathe deeply, we reflect on the depth of who we are. Our breathing, neshima in Hebrew, same word as neshama. Breathing deeply connects us to the core of our soul. The soul that is not obvious. The spark that is not always apparent. The purity, the cleanliness, the innocence, the godliness, which is always there, but not always so obvious. You might have failed, might seem empty, might seem disconnected. That's all superficial, but deep down, beneath the layers of our consciousness, there's the neshama, the purity, the connection, the selflessness, the godliness, the pristineness. Beneath the Purim mask, there's a real person. Beneath the mask of our consciousness, there's the pure soul. When we dig deeper, we find the true lottery, the supra-rational connection. Purim, the power of discovering what is not obvious. Let's connect to its power, to its energy, revealing beneath the darkness the pure light that is always there. We come back and we just remember that on Purim, this is a special opportunity to actually really connect to that idea. And we do that through the mitzvot of Purim, the giving of mishloach manot, matanot lev yanim. If you're not sure how to do it, reach out to me. And let's connect to the power of the Purim day. Have a wonderful day.